Hey, welcome back. This is Off the Hour, and this is Known as Illegal Radio, the October edition, part of CKUT's Open Conspiracy for Social Change, 90.3 FM in Montreal, CKUT.ca on the World Wide Web. You just heard a clip from the Hell in Beirut, which was also aired as a part of the Out Against the Occupation series. Out Against the Occupation was a two-part series which took place last August. The main purpose of the event was to support the international call for a boycott of World Pride ceremonies being held in Jerusalem in mid-August and to raise funds for relief efforts in Beirut. The event was sponsored by Cooper McGill and Tadaman and organized by a number of individuals who came together to basically respond to the Israeli aggressions in Lebanon, as well as the ongoing aggressions in Gaza and the rest of the occupied territories. One of the main goals of these events was to address these issues from an LGBT queer perspective and to show solidarity with LGBT and queer Arab and Middle Eastern groups such as Hellam in Beirut and Aswat in Palestine, who fight for LGBT and queer rights in the region. Ney is a Palestinian activist who has worked with the Palestinian-Israeli Women's Coalition for Just Peace against the apartheid wall and an active member of Aswat, the Palestinian gay women's group. She worked and volunteered in Sawa, a Palestinian women's center in Jerusalem. She and another member of Aswat initiated the first Palestinian lesbian email list, which later became Aswat. Maybe we can begin by talking a little bit about Aswat, what it is, and how it came about.
Yeah. Aswat is a group of Palestinian women. It's a group was formed in 2003. It has women with queer identity, if it's bisexual, lesbian, trans, or intersex. And the initiative started by me and another person. We were thinking to start an email list that we can invite many other Palestinian women in the region, in Israel and Palestine, to be part of this group as support and as, you know, to know that there's someone else. So that was the beginning. It was formed in 2003, and now it has quite large number of women. Maybe around 40 people, but not all of them are active, at least on the list. We have an email list. That's how we started to function. We started to have maybe around 12 women, and now it's much more. The group is, then like by 2003, we had the first meeting. We were around 8 women in one room. We had this meeting of like 6 hours, and we were very excited. And from then, we started to have, we thought of having an NGO, or at least a project in an NGO, so we could have an office and everything of this queer women's group. And we got the support of Kayan, which is a Palestinian feminist group, and located in Haifa. And from then that's how we started. Our activities are mainly, we have support group meetings. We have advocacy and outreach and educational programs. One of our members, Rauda Murkus, who's the most out person in the group, she does some educational workshops with social workers or with other institutions about issues of queer, issues of sexuality. We also are working on having information and publication project on our website, and also we're also working maybe to start a support line project. So this is mainly generally about the group.
Okay. Great, thanks. Can you talk a little bit about the general situation of LGBT Palestinians in the region?
Okay. First of all, we are the first group to, the first queer or LGBT group to happen in Palestine. The Israeli, they have their own groups. They have what they call the Aguda, but it's something very much different than what we are, than the Palestinian project. The thing is that in West Bank and Gaza, there are queer people, but they don't have any organization yet. However, we we started this Palestinian group, and as you know, as a beginning to have some kind of LGBT culture in the, at least in the region, or in Israel Palestine or Palestine 1948. The need for that was very important because the Israeli society, the LGBT community in the Israeli society, was never really welcoming to the Palestinian society, to the Palestinian queer people. So that's how the idea really grew up, and we say that there is a necessity of having of our own Palestinian group that will mainly answer our own needs. Now, in terms of, like, as women, we are much more politicized as lesbian women, or as lesbian women, or as bisexual, or as queer women. We're much more politicized, so that's how we could have a feminist group that deals with being, first of all, a woman in our society, in our Palestinian society, and then deals with issues of being queer, and then deals with issues of being Palestinian in the state of Israel and Palestinian in West Bank and Gaza, which is two different conditions, still both under the occupation of the Israeli state, or we suffer both kind of oppression under the Israeli state. But so that's how we thought that, you know, as women, we started from the feminist point of view. However, men, just to note, Palestinian men, they still don't have any organization, any kind of Palestinian queer organization. There's only one community in Jerusalem, and it is a project opened through initiated through the Open House, which is the queer Israeli community, and they have this project. Now, they have now new activities addressed to the Palestinian population, and precisely around the Jerusalem area. So now, if you want, I don't know if the question is also about the condition of Palestinian gays in the region,
yeah,
or Palestinian queer women, yeah, or queer people in general. Now, inside, like both West Bank and both Palestine 1948, or the State of Israel, as Palestinians live in the State of Israel, the condition of Palestinian queer is not very stable, and it's not very accepting. You know, we live in a very conservative society. Very, you know, family is important, and marriage is important, and you know, in a very kind of conservative and almost religious society. So, issues of queer and issues of gay are always a problem. And actually, in general, issues of just women's sexuality, if we start by that, it's always an issue. Mm-hmm. So, so we do have lots of problems to face with our own community. Like, for example, when Rauda Murkus, the woman who is actually the most active woman in Aswad, when she was outed in a very popular newspaper in Israel, Yedaot Achronot newspaper, the next day she got some threats from the people in her village, and her car was damaged several times. So it was pretty traumatic. And that indicates how our society is not entirely accepting. However, like our Palestinian society, however, recently, little by little, for example, we see changes. For example, there was this radio station, a Shams radio station, broadcast from Palestine, from Nazareth, and they interviewed Rauda Murkus, and they interviewed other people talking about queer issues. And surprisingly enough, the person who was supposed to be the opposition in the studio was somehow accepting. So there was really no opposition in the panel, in the radio. And it was very positive. People called and they said very positive things. Some said that, you know, we don't really care about them if they exist or not, but we are not against them, but we just don't want to be part of this this thing. But there were many people who called the radio, and they were very, very positive. So there are some changes happening, especially with the young community, with the young people in Palestine. Regarding West Bank and Gaza, the position is much worse, partly because the society itself, living already 40 years under occupation, the society itself didn't develop or didn't progress in any direction, especially when many social issues weren't solved. You know, many men in the Palestinian society were prisoners or were in their life once prisoners. The society highly traumatized because of the occupation. So lots of personal issues with this, like in social issues, were not dealt with. So this issue also is not very much dealt with. However, and I think the condition of queer people in Palestine, West Bank, and Gaza is a bit much more like worse than Palestine and inside Israel, only because, as I said, like socioeconomic situation, the poverty, the trauma, the occupation, these all things doesn't help in developing any kind of society. So what happened is that some Palestinians from West Bank and Gaza, they want to escape their families in case their family suspects that they are gay. So they go to Israel. That's the only border they could cross easily. And in Israel, they actually find themselves being prostitutes in parks in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem. And when they are prostitutes, then the police are following them. And also because they're Palestinian, then the army or the secret, whatever, agents or the Shabak, as it's called, they are following, like they are after them because they think that they are a security threat. They might have bombs. They might have information about anyone in Palestine who wants to be suicide bomber. All these things. So basically, they end up being caught between the police and the army in Israel. And in many cases, they are recruited into the secret agents, the Israeli secret agents, and then they are sent back home to work as collaborators with the Israeli state. This information was also put in some, like talked about in some of the Israeli newspapers. And surprisingly enough, the Israeli queer community hasn't done much about this issue, except for some project here and there to try to help these people, the Palestinians who were left inside Israel as prostitutes, to help them bring them food or something like that, mm-hmm. but nothing really serious in terms of solving the problem of being always treated as a threat or as the enemy, or also treated without any human rights and being illegal sometimes in your own land because the minute they cross to Israel, they are illegal. So that's the condition of Palestinian queer, and as opposed to Palestinian queer who live inside Israel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Our next question actually follows up on that a little bit. Well, the discourse around Israel's tolerance towards the LGBT groups is often referenced as one of the ways in which the Israeli state legitimizes itself as, quote-unquote, the only democracy in the Middle East. Can you talk a little bit about how they use LGBT rights to legitimate the brutality of the Israeli state?
Yeah. Well, it's not only Israel uses the gay discourse or queer discourse to legitimize itself being democracy and being a human rights state, but also the queer communities also try to use this thing, queer Zionist communities inside Israel, to legitimize the existence of Israel itself. For example, the queer community in Israel has always been involved with, like, has always had an interest to be part of the army, for example, and the Israeli occupation forces and the Israeli occupation army. So, and they're actually proud about that. And in some reports I got regarding the World Pride Parade that was supposed to be in Jerusalem, one of the things that I got is that, you know, there's a picture of this soldier, and it says how Israel is very tolerant having a soldier in their army, a gay queer soldier in their army. So just maybe to start by something simple, I just saw that on Haaretz, 3rd of October, which is like 2 days ago, there was this report that says IDF chief of staff makes peace with the queer community or the gay community in Israel. And we are speaking about, for example, Dan Chalutz. He's a general in the army. He's in the air forces, and he said something about women and men, something about gender, and the gay community, queer community, got offended. So then they tried to talk with him and to kind of compromise with his, I don't know, homophobia or sexism or something like that. And as a result, the Israeli army had a statement at the end saying that we want to deal with the gay community, and we are concerned about the gay community. And they say at the end that the army is open to the service of the men and women of the gay community in all levels of command and for any duty. Just, I don't know if it's that, if it's too much of information, but just to give you a brief information about this Dan Chalutz, mm-hmm. the guy who the general in the Air Force, this guy, he's responsible for the killing of many Palestinians in what's called their mm-hmm. policy of targeting from missiles, targeted assassinations, especially that's happening currently in Gaza. So the queer community in Israel, the Israeli Zionist queer community, they're coming and talking with this person and trying to be part of the army and trying to be part of the any kind of forces, the air forces or any other thing. And that's their fight. That's one of their fights, is that we want to serve in the army in the higher levels of the higher levels. So this is the Israeli community, the queer community, Israeli community we're speaking about. So how can we speak about queer rights like they are speaking in this article? They want queer rights without actually noticing that they are actually serving an army that's really turning the life of Palestinians since 1948 into really hell. And Gaza, for example, since 1948, it's currently the worst, at the worst level since 1948. And they are, so they cannot understand they don't live in their reality. In many queer Israeli who live in Tel Aviv, even in Jerusalem, they know that there is occupation, but they're not part of kind of any efforts to stop it. And so I don't know how Israel can speak of like human queer rights without speaking about basic human rights of their neighbors, or even of people within their own state, citizen like the Palestinian, who also, for example, since 2000, the killing of 13 Palestinian citizens of Israel, until now it's 2006, and no one policeman or no one soldier was charged of killing or was accused of any killing. So until now, so for example, we're speaking about a state that doesn't respect human rights. So I don't know how they can work towards, you know, I don't know how they can advocate that the fact that we have queer rights, it means that we are a human rights state and we are the most democracy in the Middle East. So this is true maybe only for Jewish, but it is not true for Palestinian. And the state that it's like this, it's an ethnic state. It's, as we always say, it's democracy for the Jewish and it's a Jewish for the Palestinian or for the Arab. Mm-hmm. So again, something maybe I repeated it before, but we cannot speak about queer rights without speaking about basic human rights, like basic movement, right to have a home that it's not demolished, right to education, right to a full citizenship, right of return. All these things we cannot speak about without we cannot talk about all these things or queer rights without talking about all these things that I mentioned now.
Okay, so as you know, the Out Against Occupation events were inspired by the call to boycott World Pride in Jerusalem, and you mentioned World Pride during your last response. Can you give a bit of background to World Pride, and specifically, World Pride was called Love Without Borders, and many people, including myself, took offense to the idea of no borders being applied to one of the most rigidly bordered places. So I guess, can you talk a little bit about the context of World Pride and specifically what ASWAT's position was on World Pride?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know much information about World Pride itself, a project, but what I know is that, and what I heard from Elad Chagai, I think his name is the person in the open house. What happened is that they wanted, because the World Pride was in Rome the first time, I think, or something like
yes.
that, they said then the next time it should be in Jerusalem because it's, again, a religious context or something like that. Of course, the open house decision to have the World Pride in Jerusalem, maybe in a sense, again, it actually explains the nature of the Israeli society, the most people in the Israeli society. There is a minority, maybe less than 1%, who are not like that. But the nature of the majority of the people in Israel, they really do live in a bubble, in a sense. They don't know exactly what they don't want to know, and sometimes they don't know what's happening across the border. So the decision there was, you know, here's an idea to bring queer people to Jerusalem. Again, not noticing that there is lots of other issues in choosing Jerusalem. The thing is that the Open House, along with many the other queer communities in Israel, they want by this to show, and that's one of their aims, to show that Israeli society and the Israeli state is very much open to gay, to queer things and queer people. So that's how we can have, you know, you can have this Pride Parade in Jerusalem. So it's about, it's a pro kind of pro-Israeli propaganda. And then if we look at reality, we're speaking about an occupied city, Jerusalem. Okay, it's divided east and west since 1948, but we're speaking about an occupied city, where the east part of the city, at least the one which was occupied in 1967, people live there really, really, really under no, really in a minimum human rights. Like, they suffer from house demolishing, lack of movement, from checkpoints and instant checkpoints, threats to transfer people who don't have Jerusalemite ID, so they'll be thrown in West Bank, and for them it's actually their home already 200, 300 years back. So we're speaking about a city in which half of its population, at least in the east part, are living really, really under very much severe conditions. So the decision to choose Jerusalem, it's a very cynical decision. It's very rude also to try to think to bring queer people from all over the world to have a queer struggle in the city while not noticing what's happening on the other side, and saying that actually, oh, Israel, it's really a very good state. It's a human rights state. They're having a pride parade, and in the middle of, like, the most religious, controversial city in the world. But actually what they lack is that they don't show that actually the other side, across the street to the east side of Jerusalem, there's really horrible things happening. So, and Love Without Borders, again, it's part of the cynical use of the Palestinian, maybe, issue, or the Palestinian problem. I know their intentions were good in terms of, you know, we want to make the Pride Parade, as also Haggai said it, he wants to make the Pride Parade as he told me, as a demonstration and not as a celebration, because I said you're going to have a celebration in an occupied city, people are suffering from the other side, and there will be checkpoints because there will be huge, massive, whatever, people gathering in the west side. So, of course, the east side will have checkpoints because of that. So anyhow, he told me, oh, it's a demonstration for human rights. It's not a celebration. And, of course, someone who lived in Jerusalem for a while, and I know how Pride Parades there, they are very much a celebration. And you go to the west side, you walk in the parade. It's just a way to show that. It's very much internal. But then you go to the east side, and you see terrible things. And, you know, you see in yourself how you can be living in such a divided city where one side is really suffering and the other side is talking about these queer things and human rights, not even trying to see that actually the problem is the occupation, and the problem is the very nature of state of Israel and the nature of the Israeli society. So that was one of the main issues that Aswat was against, the Palestinian queer community, queer women group was against. Our stand was just not to participate at all, and to do some alternative activities, which is, for example, doing what we called Parade to the Wall. Queer people who still want to come to Israel, actually our first call was not to come at all, because the minute you come, you support the Israeli tourism, you support the Israeli economy, whatever it is. So the first thing, not mm-hmm. to come. But if you still want to come as a queer person, you to participate in resisting the apartheid in Israel, then you can join Aswat along with another Israeli group, Jewish group, called Dirty Laundry or Black Laundry, and maybe I think also Women in Black, and to go to the wall and to do activities about the occupation, to try like to have more advocacy about the situation on the Palestinian side. That was one of our resistance act. However, I don't think I don't think it happened, because the Pride Parade itself with the war against Lebanon, with the Israel reoccupation against Lebanon. I think the Pride Parade was canceled, but the activities were still there. But I'm not sure if something else, if like there was any activity, any counter activity to that. Yeah, that's basically.
Okay, I think that's all, unless you have anything else you want to add.
So we have a website, and it is both in Arabic and in English. And this is part of our project to have this information, the website as an information center. We have even vocabulary. We can see, like, you can see the how you say some words in Arabic and the explanation of some terms taken from the English, whatever Western terminology about queer. The website is www.aswatgroup.org.